Lesson 61 in the book of Matthew, as we look at the dispensational view, Matthew 19, verses 23 through 26. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And when his disciples heard it, they was extremely amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are impossible. Well, we know that the last several messages, the fact that there was a rich man that came to him and asked him how to be saved, right? And possible. Yeah, sorry. Jesus humored himself, and if you think about it, about the eye of the needle, and how he described it was impossible that the rich man to enter into the kingdom, i.e., a camel through an eye of a needle. You know that camel can't go through an eye of a needle. And I've heard everything in the earth that they had an eye of a needle in the temple area, and the camel had to get down on his knees, and it was hard for them. Well, everything I seen was these big doors open up and bring them all in there. So it's most like almost a humor type of thing that the Lord says. And the disciples still did not clearly understand the instructions that the Lord asked, because who then can be saved? You know, we're working through the book of Matthew in a way that the Lord is sharing some very important things to them, to the little flock, the 12, because he is going to die. He's done told them, I got to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things and die at the hands of the Gentiles and be crucified and buried. So he's instructing them what to expect in his absence and what's going to take place over here in the ages to come. So that prophecy timeline is all being fulfilled in that time period. And Jesus answered and saying, mankind is limited. You agree or disagree? Me and you can't do many things. I can't sell insurance. You know, I can't work at a refinery. I can't hardly work on a 40 Ford. He knows for sure. He knows I can't work on a 93 Dodge Dakota. But anyway, you know, but I tell you what I can do. I can drive a truck. I can read a map. I can study my Bible. So there's certain things that even you can't do that. Many of you can't drive a truck. So some things are impossible. But as far as putting yourself as trying to get to heaven, man ain't going to make their way to heaven. And that's what he's saying there. In other words, who can get saved on their own? Nobody on their own can get saved. But with God, all things are what? Possible. Very important verse, isn't it? Because it's through God and by God that people get eternal life in any dispensation. Now, verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? He's still not giving up. Mm-mm. Who can be saved? He said, all things impossible with God. Jesus said, okay, I agree with that. I'm with God. Now, we have forsaken all. And basically, he says, we have met the criteria. We are poor. We have forsaken thee. Now, what are we going to get? Verses 28 and 29. And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel, and every one that hath forsaken houses and brethren and sisters and or fathers or mothers or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit it everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and that are last shall be first. Now, let me ask you that. How many of you have done that so far? Forsaken everything you got. I'm not going to leave my wife behind for nothing. You know, in that kingdom program you would, wouldn't you? And Jesus answered, said, for those who forsook and followed him, they shall, in the throne of his glory, go to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25. Verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. Has that happened yet?
No.
Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ was on this earth, was He sitting on the throne of His glory? So that's when He comes and sits on the throne of His glory. That's over here. Jeremiah, look at Luke chapter, get Luke chapter 1 and Jeremiah 14. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Jeremiah 14. Jeremiah 14, verse 21. 14:21. Do not abhor us for thy name's sake. Do not disgrace the throne of thy glory. Remember, break not thy covenant with us. There's a throne of glory, what I'm trying to get you to look at, and it's not here now, is it? There's no throne on this earth that you can call the throne of glory in God's eyes. Now, you and I may look at a mankind and say, boy, I'd like to have that throne, throne of glory. Luke chapter 1, verse 30. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and they shall call his name
Jesus.
He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father, David. There's a throne. That's why when we look back here in times past, we know that there's a law that was added to the promise. We also know there's a throne, a governmental structure, a throne. We're learning some things in Romans class and Sunday class. There's a throne there, and it's about authority. And that Davidic throne is a royal throne. It's not just any throne out there. And they will sit... Matthew 19, and they will sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes and will receive a hundredfold inheritance and shall have everlasting life. Well, that sounds like a winner there, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you like to have a hundredfold for what you did? I would. The little flock will not get their inheritance until the eternal life until they are in the kingdom. You're not going to get that inheritance to sit on that going through this times of Jacob trouble. You're not going to get that throne of inheritance and judging other going through the second coming of Jesus Christ. And they didn't have it then when they was walking this earth, did they? You know that. But there's a vast contrast with the body of Christ. We have already received atonement for the body of Christ. And we have been regenerated, if you think. That's why our walk needs to be worthy of vocation. That's why we set our sights on things that above. That we, you know, when I shared earlier, your impact now with the understanding of the Word of God rightly divided has an impact that impacts the eternally, eternals. You're the manifold wisdom of God, and you're made a spectacle. The body of Christ, not the nation Israel, and the angelic realm is looking down upon us saying, wow, what grace. They don't know, have never experienced grace like you and I have. That's why we're in a dispensation of grace, and it will soon end. The disciples judging the 12 tribes of Israel will be over here at the second coming, not now. Let me share something with you. He sets up his kingdom. He will rule when Jesus Christ sets it up, when it's all said and done, he sets up his kingdom. It's over the whole entire universe. You know, I saw a commercial just yesterday talking about, are there other life forms like us out there? That's what, you know, the commercial, I answered them, said no. You know, they could be other life forms, yes. I know there's aliens. I believe that. I believe there's other government, there's a government structure out there that's God set up. Now, don't think I'm loony, but I know there's not another life form like us anywhere in the United States. In the universe. They're not. He placed man here on earth for a reason. Then, you know, he sets up, David will be king over the 12 disciples when it's all said and done. You got Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And he sits over the entire universe. Then you had David. Look at some verses with me. Jeremiah chapter 30. Jeremiah chapter 30. Jeremiah chapter 30. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 9. But they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Mm-hmm. Now, does that sound like David's got a throne? Mm-hmm. Does that sound like it's already happened yet? It's ages to come when he's going to raise David up to sit on who? His throne. Okay, go to Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel 34. Verse 23. Ezekiel 34, verse 23. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. You got a prince that's going to be over the nation Israel. That's David. You got a king, and then you got a prince. That's David.
What verses were those?
That was 23 through 26. Let's keep reading 25. And I will make with them a covenant of peace, and I will cause the evil beast to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them and the place round about my hill a blessing, and I will cause the showers to come down in the seasons, and they should be showers of blessings. Isaiah 32. Isaiah 32. Hold your finger there. I got ahead of myself a little bit. I've been known to do that. But go to Acts chapter 7. You find out who David is. And he's going to be king over the 12 disciples. But in Acts chapter 7, notice that the 12 disciples represent the nation Israel. Acts 7. Acts 7, verse 8. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begot Isaac and circumcised him the eighth day. And Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. They are 12 tribes in Israel. We know that, don't we? Mm-hmm. They're the descendants of the 12 patriarchs. The number 12 in your Bible has to do with the nation Israel only. It has nothing to do with Gentiles, has nothing to do with anything else but the nation Israel. And the patriarchs rule over each of the 12 tribes. There's a system being set up there. You got to see this, because who is Matthew portraying Jesus Christ as? King. And that's a governmental structure. And let me ask you this. How many inches are in the ruler? 13. Okay. You know what the metric system is set up on? You know what? Increments of 10, right? Okay. You know what the number 10 is in the Bible? Gentiles, nations. And so 12 is a Jewish number. That's Israel's number. And Gentiles would, you know, how many years ago that they wanted to turn to an American system over to a metric system? Mm-hmm. That's a Gentile system. But what America goes, no. We got to stay with the U.S. this and U.S. that. That's Israel's system. Now, I'm not poking fun at anybody, but think about it. Everybody else's metric system. You ever notice that? Mm-hmm. Well, if you ever go overseas, you'll notice it. And you better learn it, too. Or you get ripped off when you convert your money and stuff. But, you know, that's Israel. That's Israel's 12, and it keeps showing up. Well, that is Israel's number. Gentiles, of course, wants everything to change in their image. When Israel fell politically, the times of the Gentiles has fallen on Israel. You know that? And it hasn't changed yet. They're under the Gentile system. Numbers chapter 1. Get Numbers chapter 1, verse 16. Get 1 Chronicles chapter 27.
You still want us to hold Isaiah?
You can hold Isaiah. We'll get there in a little bit. God gave you 10 fingers and 10 toes, 2 elbows, Numbers 1, and 1 Chronicles chapter 27. Numbers 1, verse 16. He has given you a list of names, and then he says, verse 16, Numbers 16. These were the renown of the congregation, princes of the tribes of their fathers, heads of thousands in who?
Israel.
Heads of thousands. The point is, God ordained that each tribe of Israel will have a prince, that top authority, who will rule over the tribe, who will represent the tribes before the rest of the nation. So you have a representation. We send representatives from us to where? To Washington. We don't go to Washington ourselves. We don't go to the rulers ourselves. You have to have a structure, and God had a structure, and we should have a structure, even in a body of Christ. And God points this out. The 12 tribes had princes to rule over them. I told you 1 Chronicles chapter 27, didn't I? Mm-hmm. Now, there's some tough names in this, so I'm not going to attempt them for the sake of laughter. But I know you love me just the same. 1 Chronicles chapter 27. Verse 16. Furthermore, over the tribes of Israel, the rulers of Reubenites was this guy. Then I'm just going to give you the name of the tribes, and then you can look at the names of who they chose to rule over them.
Hell yeah.
Okay, then you got Simeonites, and then you got the Levites, and then you got the Judah, Zebulun, you got David. You know, you got all these children all the way down to 21 or 22. And it says these were the princes of the tribe of Israel. So here they got the 12 tribes, and they have chosen one person out of that tribe to be the ruler over them. Okay, 1 Chronicles chapter 27, verse 25. Now this is something very interesting. What's the number of Israel?
12.
Okay, look at verse 25. And over the king's treasure, that's one, was Azimuth. Okay, that sounds good to me. All right, what I'm going to point out in these, go ahead. I love you too. Verses 25 to 31, you're going to see 12 things there and 12 names. Very ironic. But look, you got the king's treasure and you got a guy holding it. Over the storehouses, that's in the fields. That's the second thing. Then you have, he's in that storehouse, you got cities, villages, and castles. It was, Jonathan. And then verse 26, over them that did the work of the fields, the tillage of the ground, was this guy. That's three. And verse 27, over the vineyards, that's number four. It has increased the vineyards and the wine cellars. That's number five. You have another guy over that. You see what I'm seeing here? 28, this is number six, the olive trees and the sycamore trees that were in the low plains was this guy. And over the cellars of the oil was this guy. That's number seven. That's seven things, that's seven people. Then you got verse 29, the herds that fed in Sharon, that's eight. And the herds that was in the valley, that's nine. And over the camels, that's 10. And over 11 asses, asses is number 11, okay? And then you have that guy. And then over the flocks, that's number 12. You have 12 things there with 12 people governing just those things. It's very, very important to see that. God does that. And then what does it say? All these were rulers of the substance which was King David's. That's David's court. That's David's ransom. You know? So even the king had that going on. In other words, all throughout history, God had a prince over each tribe. We might forget about that because we made me think about what they was doing. But there's a government there, structure, and that's where we're at in Matthew. You know, I just got to keep your mind back to where you're at in Matthew. It may help us in the Romans class too about this, about the authorities. You know, and the system was a rule. When Christ told the apostles that they would sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes, they understood what he was saying. Because why? They had records of that. They knew who their tribe and all was being. And it was he was referring to the consistent policy that God had for Israel of having 12 princes ruling over 12 tribes. That's why they was asking, hey, we followed you. What are you going to give us? He promised them some things. It still yet amazes me that after he told them all this stuff, and he died and buried and raised again, come back. And they asked, the first question they asked him, when will you again restore the kingdom to Israel? And then, you know, you think about that and you think about that and you watch the Lord Jesus Christ walk with them and talk with them and fed them and clothed them and guided them and instructed them and reproved them and corrected them and all this stuff. And then he's gone. And he'd been telling them all the time, I'm leaving you. And you're going to have to stand on. But you know what he did? He did. He sends them a comforter. I'll send you a comforter. You're not going to still be alone. That's the Holy Spirit. Then in Isaiah chapter 1, is that where I told you to go?
You said 31.
Well, did we read Isaiah 1:25? Okay, we're going to. Okay. God had promised Israel that when the kingdom came, he would restore their judges, princes, governors, and ruling authorities over the nation. Today, the nation of Israel is not judged by these people. Verse 25, Isaiah 1:25. And I will turn my hand upon thee and purely purge away the dross and take away all thy tin. And I will restore thy judges at the first, and thou counselors at the beginning. Afterwards, thou shalt be called the city of righteous, the faithful city. This is one way God's going to establish righteousness in the nation of Israel was the decisions of judges, rulers. And we know that they was to dispute any decisions about right and wrong, which they made in Deuteronomy chapter 17 when they said, we want judges. And the party which would go to the judge, meaning, you know, you wouldn't go to King David. You would go to that leader of that tribe, and he would settle that. Y'all understand that, don't you?
Right.
Where did that concept come from? Did it just like come out of, you know, air? God promised that he would set up the political government system again in which the God would rule, which would be forced in the nation. That's a government rule. But let me go with me to Exodus chapter 18.
That last one, Isaiah 32.
We haven't got there yet.
We haven't got there yet?
Yeah, we're coming to it next.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Exodus chapter 18. Many of you probably read this 119 times. 120. Verse 18. Chapter 18. Now, Moses, was he before David?
Yes.
Okay. Was Moses before kings? Was Moses before Judges?
Yes.
Okay. Look at this. I thought this, you know, was exciting when we were going through this book of Matthew and we're looking at, look at verse 16.
What chapter?
18, verse 16. Moses brings the nation Israel out of Egypt, okay? And they're teaching stuff and they're learning stuff. Moses, father-in-law came to him, and he was a priest of Midian. He was Abraham's cousin, so he knew God, the God of Abraham. And they worship, they sacrificed that night and had a party, and they sit there and ate. And it says, verse 16, and when they had a matter, because the people, look at verse 15, because the people coming to me to inquire about God. Everybody would come to Moses and ask them, hey, what does God want us to do? Moses was a big to-do figure, right? Look at verse 16. When they had a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them known the statutes of God and His laws. Now, wait a minute now. This is before Exodus 20, before the Ten Commandments. So he let them know what the statute, what God expected of them. Look, and Moses' father-in-law said unto them, the thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee, and this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Exodus 18, verse 18. He's worried about Moses because of the responsibility that's laid upon him. Wouldn't you be worried? You might not be worried about me if we had thousands of people in here, and night and day they're coming in front of Ed saying, what do we do, Ed? What do we do? Some of you might say, whoa, man, he's taking a lot of responsibility. What can go on? Look at this, verse 19. Hearken not unto my voice. Now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel. That's a great word. The priest of Midian is going to give Moses, God's spokesperson, a counsel. And God shall be with thee, but be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and show them the way wherein they must walk, and the walk that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covenants, and a place such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds and rulers of fifties and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people all at all season. And it shall be that every great matter thou shalt bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it will be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burdens with thee. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so. So he's looking to God, the Creator, saying that God, if then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall go to their place in peace. So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over people of the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, rulers of tens, and they judged the people at all season. The hard calls they brought them to Moses. But every small matter they judged themselves, and Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way into his own land. Now, hey, that's a system that was set up before all them judges and laws. So I'm thinking, okay, if they had in their mind how this structure was supposed to be, didn't they ask Moses, let us have judges and kings? So that led up some things, but I saw that and thinking, wait a minute, there's a structure even back there before David's structure. So God just don't, do things just to be doing so. But I just thought that was very, very informal to me to look at this saying, whoa, there's a structure back there. Isaiah 32, verse 1. Isaiah 32, verse 1. Behold, a king shall shall reign in righteousness, and the princes shall rule in judgment. There shall be a king over the nation, and the 12 princes and the 12 apostles sitting on 12 thrones of the 12 tribes of Israel. Go to Jeremiah chapter 30. Jeremiah chapter 30. In verse 18, it begins with the passage of the second coming. But we're going to verse 21. Jeremiah 30, 21. And they are nobles, and their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governors shall proceed from the midst of them, and I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach, unto me. For who is this that engaged his heart to approach unto me, saith the Lord? The point here, what they're sharing, is the fact that the heathen are not going to rule over Israel any longer in that kingdom over there. They're ruling over Israel back then, and they're ruling over Israel now. Well, you would think, well, they're their own nations. You know, everybody's got their nations. But this is God's program here, okay? God's program. And the nobles and the governors and the rulers will be from among their own people. They're not going to pull from strangers and from, you know, outside of the nation of Israel rule over them. We don't do that here in the United States today. We pick people from amongst our own people. Supposed to. Sometimes they don't do what we've asked them to do, so what are you supposed to do? Hit the road, Jack. You fire them. There are many other, you know, passages, but the 12 apostles are going to rule over the 12 tribes of Israel. So you got Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to have to end here, and I'll pick it back up next week. But you had the Lord Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then you got, he resurrected David, you know, that was after his own heart. You know, there's a lot to be said about that, aren't there? Many of them don't know what David did. What, a murderer, adulteress, you know, should have been stoned. But he knew where his heart was with Jesus Christ. That's justification, by the way. And then David gets resurrected and sits on his throne after 1,000 years. And then he got the 12 apostles that will endure through this time period over here. They endure to the end. And they get place. And then you have the 12 nations. And then you have the nation, the 12 tribes of the nation Israel, and then you have the nations. We'll stop there. Any questions, comments?
During a 1,000-year reign, will people be given in marriage and having children?
I believe so.
Did it say anywhere for sure?
Well, you're doing it now, and they did it there. They have to repopulate.
Will anybody die during that 1,000 years?
I believe they will. Yes, there's death. Yep. If you break the law, you get thrown in the pit. If you don't come to church on Sabbath day and worship God Almighty, they'll come to you and drag you out and throw you in the pit.
No jails to be the
first. There's quick judgment right there.
How are they going to be able to, as human beings, obey 100%?
Okay. Now, that's a good point, what he said. How do you buy human beings? Ezekiel, God resurrects, and he puts, and Ezekiel tells us that God places his spirit, his flesh, his heart, and calls them to walk in his statutes. That's the nation Israel.
Yeah.
So the nation Israel is not going to be able to sin. Nor would they want to. Now the nations, they're supposed to look at Israel and say, that's it, I'm following you. God's with you.
They get to choose.
They get to choose. And that's one thing God never, ever, ever does and ever violates our free will. Ever. He did not Adam. He could have grabbed him up and said, listen, boy, you better take your wife out there and stone her right now. But he didn't. He allowed him to make the choice. All through the Bible, it's about choices. The nations, Gentiles, they're going to maybe have the head knowledge, say, I better walk this statue or I'm going to get cast in a pit or judgment's going to fall on me. And then what happens? 1,000 years up, Satan is loose and he deceives the
nations.
Not the nation, Israel, they're saved, sealed, and sanctified. And people say, ah, freedom, freedom. And he deceives many, and they fall right in that. But in your human body, even today, you are not capable. And that's why he told the guy in Israel, with man it's impossible, but with God, what? And in Christ, you get that doctrine inside of you in the body of Christ today, in the dispensation of grace today, in Romans 2, Philemon. You have to understand where you're at and who you are in Christ, and Christ in you, and that's what makes the difference. And that's what your drive is. You know, I joked with Jack a little while ago. I said, Jack, I'm going back under the law system. It's going to be tongues, tithing, trickery, and thumping you. You know, I'm going to beat you to death. And Jack goes, well, okay. I said, I'm going to run everybody off, Jack. He said, yeah, and you get a new group in here that wants that, just for food, you know, just for that. I said, you know, I couldn't do that, but that you should know better. See, some of you know right now, said, man, if Ed ever preached tithing, without a glance, you're gone. You know, Superman ain't got nothing on you as fast as you get out of here. Yes?
So, the Old Testament then, with the Jews and the kingdom, when the law was set up, they was to be a light unto the world.
Amen.
And draw all men to that light, and that way the Gentiles could get saved through that light of the Jews. Jewish religion. Now that's been set aside until the fullness of the Gentiles come in, right?
Yes, sir.
Kingdom will be set up exactly like it was back here, and that light will shine as the promise to Israel that you will have your kingdom. You will be that shining light on the hill. The rest of the nations will go to that light for salvation, and then there'll be rules and regulations laid down. If you don't show up on the Sabbath day, it tells them just exactly what will do, what will happen to them.
You remember how it was when...
That's the theme of this whole
yep.
thing.
You remember how it was when you were small? Many of us went to church when we were small. You know, we was in that era. And mom or grandmother would, come on, Eddie, you're going. But I don't want to do... You're going, and they drug you there, and you sit in there in that corner in Sunday school, and you're like, you know, and the teacher's so happy. Now, Eddie, what's wrong? And by the end of the day, you kind of like, well, it wasn't that bad, you know, that type of thing. That's what I see the nations doing, dragging their family to church, much like you guys don't do that here. But I'm just saying, you know, you do sometimes have to drag your people here, get them here. Your, you know, sons and daughters, you know, they should not want to go anywhere else in my books. You know, our children go, they don't go if they don't go.
But that judgment, that instant judgment is going
to, it's going to
spread like wildfire, and you're going to make a decision. Do I want to obey God or burn?
That's
going to be able to smell it in the air, and they're not going to hide it from anybody. It's going to be there. You're
fear.
Do it.
Fear. Fear. Yes, Dan.
I've heard it in a sermon where it really made sense in the times to come, in the ages to come. And I see it here. Then I will cause him to draw near. Lord Christ, or God saying, I will cause them to draw near. In other words, that's like a forcing. That's that new spirit, I believe, if I understand it right. That's the new spirit that they won't get the regenerated spirit that the Gentiles like you and I get. They'll get a new spirit, and that spirit in the end times, they will be able to follow.
That's the nation Israel, by the way.
Correct.
That's
being born again.
Go to Ezekiel 36. We have a regenerated spirit now. Your spirit was dead, and you heard that Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again. It took that dead spirit and made it alive. So you have a spirit inside of you that they'll have. See, there's only one Holy Spirit.
Right.
And he only works one way in my books. Ezekiel 36. This is the ages to come passage. And you need to look at this and believe this, because it has nothing to do with you and I. I said that. But look, 23. And I will. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Ezekiel 36. We're in Ezekiel 36, verse 20, starting with verse 23. I will. Who's that I will?
God.
Okay? The Creator. Sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, and when I shall be sanctified in you before your eyes. So he knows that Israel, back here in times past, has been blaspheming the name of God, profane, but over here, they're doing the same thing. The apostate in Israel is. The little flock is not. The little flock, when they go in this time period right here, they got the book of Hebrews, and the book of Hebrews is telling them, hey, remember Acts chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7? You don't listen to that man up there. He's the Antichrist. And that man up there in the Antichrist is teaching them, you have to keep the law of Moses. You have to do the sacrifices. You have to do this, do that. And those that group of little flock right there starts out with 144,000 preachers preaching against that. They're saying, stay away from that. And they listen to them. Israel will listen to them. But he says, verse 24, and I will take you from among the heathen and gather you, Israel, out of all the countries, and will bring you into your own land. Now, has that happened yet?
No.
I know it made a man upset here one day in here. Because I don't care how you slice and dice in 1948, it's not a fulfillment of this word of God, and they lied to President Truman. But anyway, look, at verse 25, then I will sprinkle clean water upon you. That's Israel. You see I there?
Mm-hmm.
That's not me and you doing it. And that surely is not a nation helping another nation doing it. Now, I know many of you may think that. You know, just by blessing that, I'm going to get blessings and stuff like that. It don't work.
Right.
So quit lying to yourself. God is going to do this. And ye shall be clean. There's your baptism. And from among your filthiness and from all your idols, I will cleanse you.
What verse?
And then with 26. A new heart also I will give you, Israel. And a new spirit will I put within you, Israel. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh and will give you a heart of flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgment and do them. They're not going to have no choice. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
I wish I had that choice.
You have Christ in you.
I do have a choice. I can let Christ in me do it. The same Holy Spirit, guys, the same Holy Spirit that raised God from the dead is in you and I today. The same Holy Spirit that's going to be put in their parts. You just got to believe it. I'm not going to say walk through that wall right there. You have a bump on your head.
Verse 28,
and ye shall dwell in a land that I'll give you to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all uncleanness, and I will call for thee the corn, and will increase it, and no famine upon you. That's going to be a great day over there.
Mm-hmm.
But that's to the nation Israel. And just like Roger was sharing a while ago, they're going to be that light. I know we're running over, but I tell you,
doesn't 1 Peter 1:23, I can read that. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And 1 John 3:9 tells us it's the same thing practically again.
If they're going to be born
again. New birth.
Yep, that's a new birth.
And Jimmy Carter was wrong.
No, not Jimmy
Carter. He wasn't reborn again.
No. But look, when was Israel born first? We teach this to be born again.
Left Egypt.
Yeah. Who teaches?
The Red Sea.
We teach what he just said to be born again. There's only three times, and I know we're changing gears here, and I don't want to. But the thing is, Israel was first born in Egypt. Let my firstborn go. That's when they was first born. I always tell people all the time, they said, you got to be, when they ask you, you got to be born again. I'm like, when was you born the first time? It's not the birth, the physical birth. Israel was born the first time right here coming out of Moses. They get born again over here.
Spiritual birth, right.
That's what counts. They get a body, a glorified body, just like you and I get a glorified body. But look, remember those 10 plagues? Mm-hmm. Remember the gross darkness that filled all of the world, Egypt? And there was one little light down there.
He said, I see a light down there.
Well, the nations should have seen that and said, whoa, God's with them. And you know something? When Pharaoh let Egypt go, and the more you read that, it says God hardened his heart. You know how God hardened his heart?
By the truth.
The truth of the word that he said he's going to do that. That's why people get their hearts hardened when you share this truth with them. They just don't want it, and their heart gets hard.
Get mad.
But did you know when they came out of Egypt that not just the nation Israel came? There was other strangers. So they saw that light. But what they did on the way out, they camped over here. Israel camped over here. They kept their partying all night. Israel kept, trying to be right. And it started causing problems. Father, we do thank you for the day. We thank you for things in your life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.